The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
Man, it's very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
The difference is in that song, she wants him to come back. And I think that the cities that feel they've been abandoned by LeBron, most notably Cleveland, are
not singing that song.
No, yeah. No. The LeBronathon over. The reaction in Miami, at least, instant.
Let's go Heat! Let's go Heat! Let's go Heat!
People cheering for Heat in South Florida. There's something bizarre about that.
Well, I don't know if he's actually moved the furniture yet, but he is on his way from Cleveland, a city that is hundreds of millions of dollars richer because of his 7 years with the Cavaliers. And what happens to the downtown that James helped build? They didn't get him, but the New York Knicks invested heavily in courting LeBron James. And so what is the economic impact on the cities where he didn't go? To answer that question, we have David Widener, a columnist from Market Watch and the Wall Street Journal, and Robert Schoenberger, a reporter with the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who's calculated the cost of losing LeBron for his city. Look, to both of you, I know you're both sports fans. You're both basketball fans, right?
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay, so I'm sorry for the teams. I'm very sorry for the Knicks. I'm very sorry for the Cavaliers. But here's the thing. We're here to talk about cash, money. And money is so much a big part of the story about LeBron James that who did they go to comment about it? Warren Buffett.
LeBron, he's very smart. He knows business. He knows basketball. He knows negotiations. And he's got some good friends, incidentally, you know, like Maverick Carter. The last thing in the world he needs is any help from me.
No, he didn't seem to need help from Warren Buffett. But Robert, you talked about knowing business and basketball. How much was LeBron James basketball worth to Cleveland?
Well, there are a lot of ways of measuring that. But this way of looking at it, I thought, was the attendance. Before he got on the team, the Cavaliers were regularly selling about 11,000 seats per game. After he got on the team, it was closer to 20,000. Past couple of years, it's been in the 22,000 range. You add that up over an entire year, it's about $48 million worth of spending in downtown Cleveland that's happening because he was playing with the team.
Wow. And you broke it down even further for the newspaper, right? You also talked about what it means in terms of playoff games.
Sure. The playoff games had an even larger impact because you had more people coming in than you had people driving in from. You had people coming in from out of the region, so you had more hotel rooms. That came out to over, I think it came out to about $15 million a game when you worked out the number of people.
$15 million times 10 games.
Right.
Right. So that's $150 million there.
Yeah.
So, David, can you do that kind of math for New York?
No, it's a little bit harder to quantify here in New York because obviously, he wasn't here, so it's, and we don't have a comparison of before and after. But what we can look at, you know, New York is interesting because it is actually the most valuable franchise in the NBA. So that tells you about a lot about the market. It didn't maybe need LeBron James as much as Cleveland needed LeBron James. But on the other hand, New York, the Knicks franchise is tied to a public company, and that is Madison Square Garden. And as some rumors on Wednesday that he might be coming to New York started to percolate, shares of that stock actually went up about 5%. And then on Thursday, in anticipation of the news conference, that everyone started to think, well, maybe he's going to Miami, maybe he's staying in Cleveland. Shares of that company went down. So there was a quantifiable impact in terms of that company, which controls all the media and the venue in which
right.
the Knicks play.
Well, this may not come into play for New York or New Jersey or Chicago or L.A. or any of the teams where LeBron never played. But, Robert, what is about this idea that I've heard bouncing around that LeBron's departure will actually mean more support for the Cavaliers? The Cavaliers owner, majority owner, Dan Gilbert, wrote this open letter that's
fantastic
being...
Fantastic letter.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Yeah. But at one point...
He didn't pull any punches, did he?
Yeah, at one point, besides calling it a cowardly betrayal, he says, I personally guarantee the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled former king wins one. You can take it to the bank. So, you know, maybe there's an upside to this.
Sure. Well, there are a couple things to look at here. One is, you look at the, what they call the Michael Jordan effect, which was when Jordan was playing those 8 wonderful years, those two times where he got 3 NBA rings in a row. There were about 4 or 5 games that he did not sell out, home or away games. So the league loved him. Every time Michael Jordan stepped into an arena, it sold out. And LeBron has had a similar effect, not nearly that level of support that Jordan had. So that's more important to people like Dan Gilbert, that's revenue that he'll lose. But it's not as important to the city of Cleveland. I think a better example would be to look at the Utah Jazz. Here's a team that made the NBA playoffs for 20 consecutive years until Karl Malone retired. And then the year after he retires, they missed the playoffs for about a year. A year after that, they're back in the playoffs. They never had a significant dip in attendance despite losing a major superstar. Instead, they stayed competitive, and within a year or two, their attendance was up from the glory years of Karl Malone.
It's an interesting business model.
There are teams that can lose a huge star and still have a huge draw and be well supported by the community, and I think that there's a good chance of that happening here in Cleveland.
Well, David Widener, quickly before we go, is there a business issue here in that all the people that are going to hate the Miami Heat and want to see them lose will fill the seats everywhere, and that the NBA takes kind of a big hit? I mean, certainly Dan Gilbert is counting on sort of anger to fill the seats there in Cleveland. Does that work broadly for the NBA and the sort of a beat the Heat concept?
I think it's true. I think a lot of people will be rooting against LeBron, but I'm not sure how that translates in terms of interest in the league and people filling the arena in Cleveland to support that team when LeBron is not playing there. So I'm not sure if that's really a quantifiable boost to the league, to the NBA. People are going to be rooting for him to fail, I think, a lot more now. I mean, I think he went from one of the brightest stars to one of the most despised people in the league. But very, very difficult to quantify in terms of how that's going to impact financially.
David Widener with Market Watch and also a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, and Robert Schoenberger, reporter with the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Miami season ticket sales have crashed.
The Lakers will be the second most hated team?
Yeah, well, probably the most loved.